right. I want you to get your Bibles out, and ushers, be attentive. I think we'll have others coming here in the next few minutes. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9. Once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 19. Mark chapter 9. And I want you to find verse number 19. Mark chapter 9. Verse 19, will you stand with me, please, as we read the scripture? Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 19. Young people, listen now. Don't talk, but listen. The Bible says this, "He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." The sermon tonight is entitled, How to Face the Impossible. How to Face the Impossible. And let's pray. Spirit of God, somebody tonight is desperate for the words that will be spoken from this pulpit. Some don't even know it, but you're giving them something tonight to help them for the impossible that they'll face in the near future. God, please meet with us tonight. Help this not to just be a meeting of a bunch of human beings, but might it be a meeting of your people, dominated by your Spirit, uplifting your word. God, please, make us better because we've been here tonight. Give me the attention of the people, and I'll give you my attention, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Let me ask you, do you feel like you face an impossible situation? There's somebody here tonight, now you don't know it, but somebody here tonight faces an impossible situation financially. Somebody here tonight, you say, I've got an impossible situation with one of my children, maybe a grown child. And you say, but it seems like an impossible situation. Maybe it's with a relationship. Maybe it's with a parent. Maybe in your marriage. You might face tonight, there might be somebody, you have just been burdened and weighed down because at work, there just seems to be an impossible thing that you must face. Maybe it's with health. You know, I think sometimes we don't tell everybody what we're facing health-wise. There might be somebody tonight in our congregation that faces that difficulty. Oh, I often fear I'll watch someone go and see the doctor, and then they hear that dreaded word, cancer. Or they hear something, and you say, oh, no, that seems like an impossible challenge. Do you have an impossible burden? And, you know, just a little bit, if you think about it, for our congregation to have grown as fast as it has, and now here we are, we're in a situation, we've got to have a bigger building soon, and you can almost say, getting what we need is almost an impossible thing. Where do you get the money? How do you move forward? Well, let me tell you, God has a way of helping us to handle the impossible. Listen to these verses. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, it says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Mark 9:23 said, "Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." In Luke 18:27 it says, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." In Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." I do want to point out there's a little southern slang in there. Did you hear it said, remove hence to yonder place? You say, where's yonder? Well, it's over yonder. Impossible seems to be a word or a situation for man, because with God, all things are possible. So the impossible lies with man. The impossible does not exist with God. When godless people face the humanly impossible, they fall apart or they give up. Now let me say to you, Christian, don't you be acting like the lost when you face the impossible. It's a sad thing. We have a God that makes it possible. And as a Christian, we're to have hope, we're to believe in that God that takes the impossible for a human and makes it possible through our God. The godless people, they turn to drugs or to booze. They have their man-made ways of running from the impossible. But folks, we have hope. You say, why? We have God. We have help. You say, why? Because we have God. We have God. Now listen. Listen to this. And I put a lot of thought into this. And I hope somehow it can grasp your mind for a moment. What we call the impossible, somewhat based on us, me. When I look at something and I say, that's impossible, many times it's impossible to me. Well, I didn't necessarily mean it's impossible to somebody else. Let me show you what I mean. One thing that is impossible to me is not to you, or vice versa. Or something that seems impossible to a child does not seem impossible to a teenager. Hey, something that is impossible to a teenager is not always impossible to an adult. Something that seems impossible to a carnal Christian does not seem impossible to a spiritual Christian. You go to a young or an immature Christian, and they may say, that seems impossible. You take that very same situation to an older, mature Christian, and they'll say, that's possible. That's possible. You go to a brand new Christian, and you talk to them about the tithe, and they'll say, hey, it'd be impossible for me to be able to afford to do that. You go to an older Christian, they would say, I used to be there. I used to think to tithe was impossible, but now to tithe, it's possible. See, the term impossible has a little bit to do with you. It has something to do with where are you at with God. We're to grow in regard to this concept or the way we see what is impossible. But wherever you're at, if you're a child here today and you say, I'm facing something impossible, I want to help you with it. If you're a teenager and you say, I just seem to have on my plate an impossible task, I want to help you with it. If you're an adult, if you're a young Christian or an older Christian, whatever you face, ere it be financial or with a relationship or with the building of our church or at work or with your business, hey, if you'll listen to me for a few minutes, I can give you a few hints on how to handle the impossible. You say, well, preacher, I'm not facing the impossible. If I were you, I'd put it this way. Preacher, I'm not facing the impossible yet. I'm not facing the impossible right now. Because I'm going to tell you something. You live very much life. You live life for just a little while. You will face something that seems impossible. Let me give you some very practical pointers from the Scripture on how to handle the impossible. First of all, when you face the impossible, keep believing that God is good. When you face the impossible, keep believing God is good. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And we say God is good, and the people say, all the time. Don't you ever stop believing God is good. What happens, we face the impossible, and all of a sudden we think the impossible to us has somehow changed God. I'm sorry, something being impossible to you has not changed Him one little bit. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. And if God was good in the beginning, God is good right now. God is good because of what He is, not because of what He's doing right now in your life. What's happening in your life, good or bad, does not change the fact that God is good. I was studying and I looked over that story in Job, about Job. If you remember, the devil came and wanted to torment Job a little bit, and he begins to tear into Job. You have to understand, Job was probably the wealthiest man around, I mean on the earth. When we talk about what Job lost, it's not like Job lost a couple of things. Job lost thousands and thousands of herds and servants. Now listen, all of Job's oxen and his donkeys were stolen at one time, and his servants were killed. The next thing you know, they turn around and fire kills all of his sheep and those servants. His camel are stolen and his servants are killed. His sons and daughters die in a terrible storm. Job's friends turn on him. Job's wife becomes disloyal to him. Job ends up with boils all over his body. And listen to what he says. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him." Now, let me explain. Don't you think that when Job faced all of that, Job was looking at it and saying, "This is impossible. This is impossible." But let me tell you something. I think Job shows us that which is impossible did not affect his attitude. You see, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." I believe he was saying, "You know something? All this has happened to me. This is virtually impossible to handle. This is more than I could bear on my own. But I've not lost my faith in my God. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to serve the good God that I get to serve." And don't let if Satan seems to be getting all over you and mistreating you right now, don't you let Satan's mistreatment of you cause you to lose your faith in how good your God is. Look, believing God is good may not solve your problem, but it'll make your problem's journey more tolerable. When I watch people face the impossible, if they can just keep the right attitude about the goodness of God, you'll make it through the impossible and you'll keep on going for God. But if you let the devil take away from you the core belief that God is good, you're going to ruin your Christianity. Whatever you're facing, there's somebody in here, you need to push the reset button in your thinking. You ought to settle something tonight. You say, "I'm up against it financially." Yes, but God's good. You say, I'm not well physically. Yes, but God is still good. You say, "Things are going rough in my family right now." Yes, but God is good. You say, "Things are not, they're not stable in my business or down at work." Yes, but let me tell you something. God's still good. And Christian, you better hold on to the fact that your God is a good God, whatever you face. You say, "But I'm facing the impossible right now." You might be facing the impossible, but your God is still a good God. And if you'd like to make it through this thing and end up on the other end with a smile on your face, still in church, still having a God to serve, you better just remember, God's good all the time. God's good all the time. The Bible says in Psalm 135, verse 3, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." Now, if you're facing the impossible, let me recommend something. You better remind yourself, God is good. Keep believing that. Secondly, if you feel like you're facing the impossible, keep your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Many of you would not have had the privilege to hear the great Dr. Lee Robertson preach, but I got to hear Lee Robertson preach, and just hearing him say, "Have faith in God." I mean, he could say it in a way, and you would go, "Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great." All he did was say, "Have faith in God." But Lee Robertson could say it in a way, and that's a great preacher that's in heaven now. But you know something, folks? The Christian life is not as difficult as we make it. You say, "What do we need?" Have faith in God. Just have faith in God. Hey, you may lose your faith in yourself. Don't lose faith in God. You may lose your faith in your child. Don't lose your faith in God. You may lose your faith in a mom or a dad, but don't lose your faith in God. You may lose your faith in your preacher, but don't lose your faith in God. You may lose faith in your husband or your wife or your friend or some Christian, but let me tell you something. If you're facing the impossible and somehow your faith has become weak and anemic and somehow your faith has been depleted of its energy, have faith in God. God is still good. God can still do. Hey, God is still the God of Abraham, and God is still God of Gideon. God is still the God of Isaiah and Jeremiah. God is still the God of Moses. Have faith in God. Hey, look, you may let you down, and others may let you down, but God won't let you down. Now, I just have to tell you something. Every once in a while, I feel like I need to say this. You say, oh, I hear preachers say that. God let me down. God didn't let you down. No, He did not. You say, well, I'm mad because God did thus and so. You better not be mad at God, because God's good. God's a good God. Somebody else might have let you down, and your biggest problem is you have let you down. But I'm going to tell you something. Keep your faith in God. I was thinking of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Heard a young man preach a sermon called Hope, Coat Rack, Hat Rack, and Under the Bed We Go. Three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar built a false god. And he said, everybody's going to bow down, and they're going to worship that false god. These three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we can't bow down to the false god. They said, if you don't bow down to the false god, we're going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. And they said, we can't bow, so I guess you'll just have to burn us, because we can't bow to the false god. Now, let me show you their faith at the time of the impossible. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. Here's what they said. They said, God is going to deliver us if you throw us into the burning fiery furnace. Then they said, but if He doesn't, okay, we're still not going to do wrong. We're not going to do wrong. Now, I see their faith there. What's happening? They're facing the impossible. Three young men against a king and an entire kingdom. They've been told, you're going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And what did they do? They said, we still have faith in God. Now, in verse number 25 of the same chapter, it says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here's what happened. These three young men said, we're not going to bow. They said, you're going to burn. They took them, they threw them into the burning fiery furnace. The men that threw them in were consumed with the flame. I mean, the soldiers got burnt up and died. And the king came along and he looked in that furnace. He said, oh my, I thought we threw three people in there. They said, we did throw three in. And the king said, there's four in there. And the fourth looks as if it could be the Son of God. How in the world did he know what the Son of God looked like? I'm going to guess Jesus was real obvious in there saying, boy, I'm coming to get you next. And I'm telling you, it was very obvious to them, hey, something great had happened. You know what? These young men did not lose their faith in God. Let me recommend something. If you're facing the impossible, don't you let loose of the fact that God's good. If you are facing the impossible, keep your faith in God and have so much faith that you say, look, I believe God's going to deliver me. But if He does not, He's still my God. He's still my God. Keep your faith in God. Have faith that God is good. Have faith that God knows where you are. Have faith that God's not finished with your situation. Have faith that God knows what you need, and God knows when you need it. Have faith that God still has a plan for your life. Have faith that God's not forsaken you. Have faith that God still loves you. Have faith. Hey, your situation may be out of your control, but never is it out of God's control. God knows what He's doing. You say, I face the impossible. Okay. Believe God's good. I'm facing the impossible. Don't lose your faith in God. If you seem to be facing the impossible, the third thing I want to recommend to you, keep praying. Just keep praying. In Matthew 17:21, it says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Well, this kind. What's being said here is you're facing something that's so big. Getting the kind of miracle you need. Getting one that, having an answer to an impossibility in life. It's only going to come by prayer and fasting. God brings, I think, sometimes the impossible to us to drive us to our knees. Do you know how many people don't really pray until they're facing the impossible? let's let it be said that we didn't have to have an impossibility come into our life to get us to pray. Let's pray before the impossible comes. But if you face what seems to be the impossible, keep on praying. Hey, let the impossible drive you to your knees, not drive you to the bottle, not drive you to the psychiatrist. You get to your knees. Again, think of the story of Daniel. Daniel, faithfully, in growing up, prayed to God three times a day. Darius, a wicked king, passes a law. And Darius says, nobody in this kingdom may pray to anybody but me. Oh, well, there were some leaders in the country that were very, very jealous of Daniel. And they said, you know what we're going to do? We know that Daniel, he prays three times a day. We're going to get him. We're going to watch. And when he goes to pray, we're going to be tattletales. We're going to run tell the king. And the king's going to have Daniel arrested. And we'll get him out of our hair. And just as they thought, at prayer time, Daniel said, it's praying time. And so Daniel prayed in spite of the law that said you can't pray. And let me tell you something, folks. You may be tested that way someday in America. They may say to you, you can't pray in this country. I mean, they're trying to take our Bibles away from us and so many of our liberties away from us. You better learn. You better pray because you need to pray because God told you to pray. And Daniel said, I'm going to pray no matter what the king said. I'm going to pray. Oh, those evil men were watching. Daniel got on his knees and they said, that's it. We caught him. There he is. He's praying. They grabbed him up. They took him down, and the Bible says they were going to throw him in the lion's den. Daniel 6:11 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. Now they're dragging him down, and they're going to throw him in the lion's den. Now let me tell you something. Daniel was praying before the lion's den, and I will guarantee you he was praying in the lion's den. The Bible tells us that he was facing the impossible. Look, when you're facing the impossible, what do? Pray. Just keep praying. You say, but it seems impossible. You've got to remember to who you're praying. You're praying to the one that is always good. You're praying to the one who is most powerful, in whom you may put all faith. Now just keep praying. And listen, later on in the story, in Daniel 6:20 and 21, it says this, and when he came to the den, this is the king, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, so here the king is, he's at the lion's den, he's shouting into the lion's den, Daniel's in there with the lions, the hungry lions. He said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. He had spent the night in the lion's den. The king went down there and said, oh, I just hate this. I need to go down there and find out if the lions ate him. And the king yells in there and says, are you in there? Daniel said, we're doing good in here. We're doing okay. Everything's going to be all right. But notice that the king seen that it was Daniel's God that delivered him. Look, when you face the impossible, you might, somebody here, you might feel like you're in the lion's den right now. Say, my situation is tearing me to shreds. You believe God is good. You keep your faith in the miracle-working power of God, and you just keep praying through the impossible. Some of you here, you need to pray. I don't mean just here in church. There are people here, you pray in church because we do it. You might whisper a real quick prayer over a meal, but how much time are you really putting into the prayer in regard to the situation that is the impossible situation? You know, one of the reasons why God brings prayer needs into our life is because God wants to be with us. Go spend some time with God. God answers impossible prayers. God answered Daniel's prayer from the lion's den. Hey, God helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God was there for Job. Job faced the impossible. But Job kept believing God was good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they faced the impossible, but they kept their faith in God, and they made it through it. Here we see Daniel faced the impossible, but Daniel kept praying. Daniel made it through the impossible. And I'm not just trying to fill up 35 minutes of a Sunday night because I needed something to say so we could have church. I'm trying to tell you somebody faces the impossible, and if you believe the same God I believe, and if you have the same book that I have called God's Holy Word, I'm telling you how to make it through the impossible. Have faith in God. Believe God's good. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Hey, Number four, when you face what seems to be impossible, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Jeremiah 7:24 says, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Here somebody was facing the impossible. They started going backward. I think they were going backward in their belief that God is good, and going backward in their faith, and going backward in their prayer life. Now, you say, "I'm facing the impossible." Well, don't you just sit there and say, "This is impossible, this is impossible, this is impossible, this is impossible." And don't you go backward. There are people, you're facing the impossible, and you're praying less than you ever prayed before. Isn't that a sad thing? Don't go backward, go forward. These people in Jeremiah 7 had stopped moving forward. Don't turn back. Onward. Forward. Shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. When you see the story of Moses and the children of Israel, they had been in captivity. And Pharaoh had them in captivity. And Moses kept on going to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go." Finally, Pharaoh said, "All right, go." So God's people, they packed up and they headed out. Well, they came toward the Red Sea. Wow, a big body of water. And then Pharaoh changed his mind. Pharaoh said, "You know what? I let those people go. 3 million plus people." He said, "I let them go. I think I'm going to take my armies and I'm going to go get them." So Pharaoh sent his armies. Now the armies are on the trail of God's people, and God's people come up to the Red Sea. So Moses, the leader, he said, "I look here. I'm right here. There's a Red Sea. No way across. I look back and I see nothing but captivity. Here comes Pharaoh. Here comes his armies. Here comes punishment." And Moses said, "You know, all we can do is go forward." And I'm sure somebody said, "If we go forward, there's nothing but water." And I think Moses said, "I am going to take a step forward because I'll go as far as I can. And then I'll just have to leave the rest up to God." And the Bible says that Moses, it says this. Listen to Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. It says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind." Moses said, "I am totally up against it. I'm not going back." And the Bible says he stretched out his hands toward the sea. You know what he did? He went as far forward as he could. He said, "I'm going to stretch as far forward as I can." You know what God said? God said, "You've done everything you can do. Now watch what I can do." There's some of you, you want God to come along and solve your problem without you giving your best and doing everything you can. And God is saying to you, "You keep moving forward. You give me everything that you've got. You stretch yourself to your furthest capacity." And then God said, "You watch what I can do." That's what I believe about our need of a building. We are pushing the thing. We're doing everything we can. And I think God's looking down and he's saying, "You know what? Those people want to go forward." Folks, let's not stop going forward. Let's keep moving forward. And we see then what happened is the Red Sea parted and God's people walked across on dry ground and God worked a miracle. Listen, don't turn back. Keep going forward. Keep moving forward for God even when you face what you think is impossible. Don't just stand and wait for deliverance. Move forward and then seek deliverance while you're moving. I believe God expects you and I to do everything we can to solve our own problems. He gave you a brain. Use it. He gave you preaching and teaching from the Bible. Some people sitting around say, "Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me." And God is saying, "I've been helping you. You're just sitting there thinking about it. Get up and go do something. Move forward. Step forward. Stop whining and sitting there in a puddle of your own self-grief and pity and go do something about it." Once you have done everything you can do, then God will kick in and do what God can do. That's why people blame God. "Oh, God's not been good to me." Oh, God was good to you. He gave you what you needed to go forward, and you just sat there and contemplated. You sat there. And I believe in prayer. Well, let me tell you something. I think you ought to be moving forward while you're praying. Look, if your house is on fire, I wouldn't, if I were you, fall on my knees in the living room and decide to have a one-hour prayer meeting. Oh, God, spare me. You're going to burn up while you're praying, bud. If I were you and your house is on fire, use the legs God gave you and walk out and pray while you're walking. But go forward. Don't go backward. Don't stop. Did you know that if you stop, you're a sitting duck? Do you know what kind of target I am? I'm a forward-moving target. I don't want to stop. Any of you hunt? I deer hunt. I like to deer hunt. Deer smart. They don't like to be still for long. It's difficult to hit a moving target. I learned that getting spankings when I was a child. You can move just right. Spare yourself. Listen, folks. Keep moving forward. I love this. How about the impossible differences between husbands and wives? I'll read it. My mom got mad at my dad the other day and went shopping to relieve her irritation with him. When she returned home, she informed him that she had just purchased 10 brand new dresses. 10! Hollered my dad. You're impossible! What could any woman want with 10 new dresses? My mom calmly said, well, 10 new pair of shoes. The impossible. In the Bible, God gives us the impossible. We love the stories. Don't we just love to hear about Daniel and we love to hear about Job? God was not just giving us a cute story to tell in Sunday school. God said, listen, when you face the impossible, as Job did, keep believing I'm good. It'll sweeten your journey if it's a journey of difficulty. Then God said, look, if you face the impossible like Daniel, or if you face the impossible in the lion's den, hey, you keep going forward and make sure that you keep your eyes on God. God gave us these stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They kept their faith. They kept moving forward like Moses did. Let me tell you this. If you seem to face the impossible, may I recommend to you that while you're facing the impossible, you keep doing good and keep doing right. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, here's somebody that's weary. Maybe they're facing the impossible, but God said, keep on going. Don't get weary of doing right. Let me tell you, the people in the world get very weary of doing wrong. Very weary. I would rather be tired from doing right than tired from doing wrong. Wrong tired tears you to shreds. Right tired brings a reproof to your spirit. Hey, so you all know, everybody's going to get weary. Everybody's going to have struggles. I looked at my families, and when I was growing up, I looked at things around me and I made a conscious decision. I said, you know what, I can go over there and live like that, and I can have a mess, or I can go over here and live like this, and if I do have a mess, at least I see some good conscience about me, and at least I see that there's a God and there's a happiness and there's a hope. And I made a very conscious decision. I said, I'm going to face heartaches and burdens in life. I want to face them with God instead of without God. I made that decision. And let me remind you, you keep doing right when you face the impossible. Hey, Daniel, in the lion's den, he kept praying. He kept praying. Job kept believing that God is good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they kept their faith. They kept being loyal. Keep doing right. Let me tell you, if you're facing the impossible, stay in church. Keep doing right. If you're facing the impossible, keep giving to God like you're supposed to. If you're facing the impossible, keep telling people about Jesus. If you're facing the impossible, keep reading your Bible. If you're facing the impossible, love your neighbor. Hey, even if it is your own sin that has caused your impossible situation, keep doing the right that you can. And I want to be done, but let me give you one other thought about the impossible. When you face the impossible, keep helping others. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest mistakes that people with burdens, impossible burdens, do. They stop helping others and they zero in on themselves. So, not only do they face the impossible, that's all they think about. My situation, me, mine, my, I. Can I tell you something? God has never said that the Christian life was all about you. Don't become stingy if you face the impossible. Hey, if it's impossible, thinking about it won't change it. You say, I can't help myself. Okay. Won't you go help somebody else then? That'd be, what do they call that? Being a Christian. I could recommend something to help some of you get rid of your depression. Stop thinking about yourself all the time. What you want. What you don't have. Jesus on the cross. He's facing a pretty impossible thing. Now, with God, all things are possible. But do you know what Jesus was doing on the cross? He was concerned about his mom. He was concerned about his friend John. He saves a man's soul. Says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was on a cross thinking about me and you. You know one of the ways I think Jesus made it through dying on the cross and his resurrection? I don't think he had his mind all on him. I don't think he's up there saying, oh, it hurts so bad. Did it hurt? Yes. But you know what? He had his eyes on a man that needed to be saved. He had his eyes on his mom that needed his encouragement. He had his eyes on his friend, John. He had his eyes on mankind. Jesus made it through the cross, through the grave, resurrected. You say, how do you face the impossible? Get your eyes off yourself. And some of you have heard this all your life, and it's time for you to live it. When you face the impossible, if all you do is think about your situation, how bad it is for you, how miserable you are, everything you're losing, all the stuff that's happened to you, how bad it is for you, let's just throw you an awesome pity party. You say, you're not showing compassion. I'm helping you more than what you realize. I might irritate you a little bit and ruffle your feathers, but I'll tell you, if all you do is think about you, that self-centeredness is a carnality that Christians are not supposed to practice. Hey, I love you. I want to help you through the impossible. I want to help you to make it. But one thing you got to do is stop thinking about how bad it is for you. Get your eyes on somebody else. You might not be able to solve your problem, so help somebody solve their problem. You say, there's nothing I can do about it. Okay, make some chocolate chip cookies and go down to the nursing home and help somebody have some cookies. Well, I can't. Yes, you can. You don't want to. You're probably enjoying the self-misery. While you're busy, let me tell you what will happen. While you're busy carrying somebody else's burden, yours won't be as heavy. It will not be as heavy. God has a way when you're helping others. While you're carrying my burden, God comes along and says, hey, I'll carry yours. So, you say, I'm facing the impossible. What should I do? Believe God is good. I'm facing the impossible. What should I do? Keep your faith in God. I'm facing the impossible. What should I do? Keep praying. I'm facing the impossible. What should I do? Move forward. I'm facing the impossible. What should I do? Keep doing right. I'm facing the impossible. What do I do? Keep helping others. I have faced the impossible in life. I look at it. I don't know what to do about it. I can't fix this. I've got to make it through this. These things helped me to face the impossible. And by the way, these things are what helped the illustrations I gave you tonight to face the impossible. If it'll help Daniel, it'll help you. If it helped Job, it'll help you. And remember, the impossible, those are terms and situations about man. Because the Bible says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. This is God's way of helping you to face what, and listen, what you call impossible. You know what? Some of you, what you call impossible today, 5 years from now, you look back and say, ah, that wasn't impossible. there's somebody right now that has an impossible situation in their life, and you're thinking, I've been through that. You can do it. You can do it. Grow your ability to make it through the impossible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There are children. Children that face something tonight, and they're saying, I don't know if I can do this. They're teenagers facing the impossible. Parents, marriages, business people. Listen, face the impossible God's way. Who here tonight would say to God, God, you've spoken to my heart tonight. You've spoken to me. Would you raise your hand and just let God see it? If you need a moment at the altar, do you have an impossible task ahead of you? Face the impossible God's way. If you need the altar, you're welcome to come. Listen, if you're not saved, why don't you come tonight? Let us take a Bible and show you how to go to heaven when you die. It's simple. We'll show you in a few steps on how to be saved. If you're not saved, you come. Let me know that you're coming. We'll show you how to be born again. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Somebody here needs to get your eyes off of yourself. You are so self-consumed, it's pathetic. Matter of fact, you think yourself into a deeper hole than what actually exists. Why? Self-centered. Go help somebody else. Keep your faith in God. Believe that God's good. Keep going forward. Standing and staring at your burden will not solve it. Keep doing right. Keep doing right. Keep in church. Keep in your Bible. Keep on your knees. Keep up your tithe. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep your faith in God. The sermon, How to Face the Impossible. You face the impossible the same way that Moses did, that Job did. You face it the same way Daniel did. You face it the same way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. If it worked for them, it'll work for us. One more time through the song. If you're facing the impossible, don't stop coming to church. Get in church more. If you're facing the impossible, don't blame God. God's good. Keep that attitude. Blame the devil, but don't blame God. God's good. You're going to need the belief in God's goodness to make it through the journey.